Ed Gillespie, candidate for governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
All right. Well, we're coming down to the wire here. So what's your final pitch to voters?
That we've got to do better in Virginia. We're not where we need to be in our economy. Our growth rate right now is 0.6%, and we're 39th out of 50 states. And my policies will put us on a path to be number one in the country in economic growth and job creation, and increase job creation by 25%. And we need those jobs, and we need those opportunities here, and my plan will get us there.
What's different about your plan as opposed to the other candidates on the ballot?
Well, first of all, I have one. I have a detailed, specific policy plan to cut our individual income tax rates by 10% across the board. Those rates were set 45 years ago, and they've not come down a lick ever since, and we've got to foster more natural, organic growth here, and a 10% across the board rate cut, responsibly phased in over 3 years, protecting our core government functions and AAA bond rating, will result in a 25% increase in job creation. My opponent says he has a plan for bipartisan tax relief, and go to his website to find it, but you cannot find one at all. He does not have a plan, and we need a plan, and I've got it.
The tax cut's realistic, though. Obviously, we've seen some state budget pressures in recent years, and of course, there's the famous instance of Governor Gilmore, who campaigned on getting rid of the car tax, different thing, but same idea, and then it didn't happen.
Well, a couple things. The car tax was a local source of revenue at the city and county level that got eliminated, and then the state was going to backfill. And that got a little complicated. What I'm talking about is our state income tax rates, and we can lower those 10% across the board. We've got a projection of $3.4 billion in increased revenue to our treasury over the next 5 years. And what I'm saying is let's increase spending by $2 billion, but allow for Virginians to keep $1.4 billion of their hard-earned dollars. And, you know, that would help people who haven't had a wage increase for way too long now, and would also spur our economy. In fact, it would result in the creation of more than 53,000 new additional good-paying full-time private sector jobs, and that is a 25% increase.
To a couple other issues now, transportation, obviously a major issue up around here. What would you do for transportation for the people who are either sitting on a train, sitting in traffic, listening to us?
Well, I've got a great transportation plan. It includes, you know, saving Metro, which we need to do. It includes getting more mileage for our transportation dollars, so that we can, you know, build more projects, which we need to do. I would have a lockbox for transportation where all transportation dollars raised go to transportation projects. I would not impose project labor agreements or union contracts on our public-private partnerships. We're a right-to-work state. That's an advantage for us. When you impose a union contract, that drives up the cost of projects, and that means fewer projects. And I've also got innovative approaches to congestion relief that deal with, you know, traffic flow and management and other innovative ideas. So the fact is, between my tax relief proposal and my transportation plan in Northern Virginia, we'll have more money in our pockets and less time stuck in traffic. And, you know, living in Fairfax County like I do, I know that that is important to us.
Are you talking about taking just existing transportation money, or would there be any new transportation money, a dedicated tax for Metro or otherwise?
Well, Metro, we've got to get our costs under control. And the fact is our cost per passenger mile on Metro is higher than the New York City subway or the Chicago L or the San Francisco BART system. We've got to get costs under control. And, you know, that's going to, and I think we need to make permanent the governance reforms. And then in terms of our existing revenue, yes, we need to maximize our existing transportation dollars. And the way to maximize those is to not impose, you know, union contract requirements, as my opponent would do, on our public-private partnerships, on our construction projects, because that drives up their cost and means fewer of them. And we also need to make sure that funds raised for transportation are spent on transportation. And that's an important difference between us as well.
Asked you this before the primary. Any issues flying under the radar, you know, not necessarily in all of these ads hitting back and forth, that you think are important, that you can make a difference in, that you'd like to bring up?
I do. The opioid and heroin epidemic is something I hear about on the trail all the time, and it is taking lives, obviously. On average, 4 Virginians every day die from opioid or heroin overdose, and, you know, we have got to address this. It is a crisis, and it's not just the lives that are being lost. It's the lives that are being destroyed and the families that are being torn apart. And it's a workforce issue. It's a public safety issue. And it is, it will be a priority for me. And it's the kind of thing that is a priority, but not necessarily that translates into a 30-second ad, to be honest with you.
what about President Trump? Obviously, he endorsed you. We haven't seen him out on the campaign trail with you, but are you happy to have his support, and do you feel that that's helpful going into November 7th?
I appreciate his support, and it's very important for us to have a governor who can work with President Trump and Vice President Pence and the cabinet and the Republican majorities in the House and Senate. When you've got an economy where 20 cents of every dollar is a direct federal dollar, it's very important that the governor of Virginia be able to work with the president of the United States. That's always been the case, even with Democratic governors who have worked with Republican presidents, Republican governors who have worked with Democratic presidents. And my ability to work with President Trump and Vice President Pence and the cabinet will be very important for the people of Virginia if I'm our next governor.
Speaking of working with other people, do you have any relationship with Governor Hogan in Maryland or Mayor Bowser in D.C.? And how would you build that if you don't, or how would you see that working for the future?
I don't know Mayor Bowser. I do know Governor Hogan and have a good relationship with him. I would seek a good relationship with Mayor Bowser, and we are part of a regional economy in Northern Virginia. That regional economy is important, and regional cooperation is important. Now, there's always going to be some friendly competition, but I'm for growing the pie in the the Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. region. And we can fight over slices of pie in the midst of that, but it's important for us in a regional economy to grow and prosper, and I would seek to work very closely with them both.
You have an ad running that attacks Lieutenant Governor Northam for Governor McAuliffe's restoration of rights policies. How would you handle the restoration of rights for felons?
Well, let me first make clear that's Lieutenant Governor Northam's policy as well. He has said it's our policy and that he would continue that policy as governor. And I will be very generous in terms of restoration of rights. I believe in second chances and redemption and reconciliation. And people who have paid their debt to society and are living an honest life, we want to welcome back and restore their rights, and I would. But I do think that for violent felons and people who are unreformed, unrepentant, violent criminals, that we need to have a more serious screening process and a vetting process before we restore those rights, because it's not just voting rights. It is the right to get guns and have gun ownership, as well as sitting on juries. And so while I'd be very generous and in particular, you know, would support a legislative solution and a more permanent solution, in particular relative to nonviolent offenders, I do think that you need to have greater discretion in restoring rights. The example I have in my ad is someone who was, you know, convicted child molester, who 2 months after being arrested for one of the biggest collections of child pornography in the history of Virginia, had his rights restored. And I think we need to have a more thorough review before automatic restoration of rights for certain people who are clearly not, reformed.
So that would be something similar to Governor McDonald's policy?
More similar to Governor McDonald had a very expedited process and far-reaching, but it did allow for more discretion.
And just on education, obviously, there's a lot of people concerned about whether their kids are in schools or they're the teachers. Can you talk about what you would have in mind for education and how you would pay for that? I mean, just the re-benchmarking of the standards of quality is almost $500 million, and that's before you add anything.
Well, what I've said is we need to take a look at the standards of learning and are we testing the right things at the right times. And I do believe we have to have standards and we have to have transparency. And we have an achievement gap in Virginia. I put forward a plan to cut that gap in half between lower income areas and higher income areas. And but you can't close the gap if you can't measure the gap. And so I do think we need to maintain standards. At the same time, I do want to measure, you know, or look into whether or not we're measuring the right things at the right times. And I would bring people together for an analysis and assessment of that.
And just quickly, is there like one top issue, if you had to pick just one thing that you'd want voters to think about you doing and that would be your priority if you're elected and get sworn in January?
Getting Virginia to number one, where we rightly belong when it comes to job creation.